Okay. Morning, everyone. Okay, now that we're all prepared. Today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel in Zvachim. And daf Lamed Gimel in Zvachim. And we started yesterday. We had the privilege of starting the third perek of Zvachim. And we talked about Kol HaPsulim. Anyone who's possible to Shecht. I'm sorry, anyone who's possible to do the Avodah is allowed to do the Shechita, is entitled to do the Shechita. And we did the Mishnah yesterday, and the Mishnah gave us a list of things which can be undone, right? Small little mistakes that are done during the Avodah that could be undone. But the main discussion of today is going to be a continuation of the ensuing Brisa that we started with yesterday. So let's go back yesterday. Let's go back to where we ended off yesterday and start from the bottom of the page. One Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. And we're towards the bottom. What we've established is as follows. The Mishnah gave us a list of people who are allowed to shecht, meaning all the people that can't do any avoda are not entitled to do any avoda, but they could do shechita. Shechita is not an avoda. Shechita lav avoda, and therefore it can be done by a non-kohen. The list of people include a non-kohen, a woman, an eved, a tamei, right? And even if it's kachay kachim, it doesn't matter. They can all do the shechita. I quoted yesterday the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael and Tosfos, right? We discussed the Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, Eldad Hadani, who says that women cannot shecht, and Tosfos rejects that position. He says, no, it's not true. Women are certainly entitled to shecht. And then, the Mishnah makes the observation, the Gemara makes the observation, how come the Mishnah talks in Lashon B'di'evan? Meaning the Mishnah says, Kol HaPsulim Sheshachtu Shechita San Kshera. So how come the Mishnah did that? Meaning, if it's not an avoda, so what's the hesitation? Why does the Mishnah only talk about Lashon B'di'evan? And the Gemara's answer is like this. Really, it's not. It's not B'di'evan. It's all L'chatchila. Right? All these non-Kohanim, these non-qualified people could really shecht Me'ikar Hadin, according to the strict letter of the law. The Mishnah says B'di'evet, that's only talking about Tamei. Tamei's mentioned in the Mishnah, and for obvious concern, look what's going to happen. The Tamei's going to shech the animal. Now, we already discussed yesterday, I went through how he's going to shech the animal, meaning he's Tamei, how is he not going to transfer his Tuma over to the animal? We talked about that yesterday. But still, in other words, just the simple concern, after he shechs the animal, he's going to touch the animal. Okay, and once the animal's dead, now it's susceptible to tuma, can become tamei, and he might touch the animal after he shechts it. So really, the truth of the matter is, our first position is we don't want him shechting, because he may touch it. So that's why the Mishnah wrote a lashon b'di'evad, because the Mishnah was really calling out, without trying to call out, but the Mishnah was calling out the tamei, you can't shecht l'chatchila. Good. That's what we got up to yesterday. Let's continue in the Gemara today. The tamei di'evad shapir, dummy, or minu. So the Gemara says, look, I'm going to point out that there seems to be a contradiction to what we just learned. We just learned that a tamei who shechts b'di'evad is okay. On the other hand, the Gemara says, look at the following braisa. V'samach v'shacha, ma'smicha b'tarim, ma'fshchita b'tahorim. So the Gemara quotes a series of psukim. Vayikra perek aleph. We start off with pasuk dal. Page 1 of Vayikra. Now page 2. Page 2 of Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra. So the fourth pasuk goes like this: V'samach gadol rosh ha'olav and yirtzeh lo lechaper olav. And then what's going to happen is that with a carbon olah, you have to do something called smicha. Smicha is taking your hands, putting on the head of the animal, and leaning on the animal. Actually, it will be a discussion today in the Gemara how much you have to lean on the animal. Is it enough sufficient to just simply put your heads on the animal, or do you actually have to put force and pressure and apply it to the head of the animal? Okay, this is the mitzvah of smicha. And then the next pasuk is v'shachar es ben abakar lefnei Hashem v'hikrivo, and then you do shechita. So the Gemara says, look, we have, I call it a hekesh, but after Shabbos and after hearing Rebbe speak about hekeshim on Shabbos, I got to be careful about what I call a hekesh and what isn't a hekesh. And by the way, it's not a hekesh because it's two different psukim, right? Hekesh is when it's in the same pasuk. So this is, if we're going to call it anything, it's smichas parshias, right? It's next to one another. Anyway, so v'samach v'shacha, ma smicha b'tahorim, ma shechita b'tahorim. So the Gemara says, look, smicha has to be done with someone who's tahor, shechita has to be done with somebody tahor. Good. So it seems to be that the Braisa here is making a limud, and the limud is telling us that both smicha and shechita have to be done by tahor. Period. Good. Now, how do you understand the Mishnah? Mishnah says, a tummy person can do the shechita, she really shouldn't, but can do the shechita. So the Gemara's answer is midrabanan. Okay, so that's not a real drasha. It's the midrabban and it's just an asmachta ba'ama. So ma'ishna smicha dechsev lefnei Hashem. So the Gemara says now, okay, even if the smichas parshios is not a real drasha, quote unquote, it's not a din d'araisa. But let's try to understand this. When it comes to smicha, why are we excluding the tamei? So the Gemara answers like this, lifnei Hashem, because it says regarding smicha v'samach edav al rosh ha'olav and irtzal al chaper olav. Sorry, right beforehand. Pasuk Gimel. Now Pasuk Ha'amoed Yakriva Solir Sono Lifnei Hashem. So you're before Hashem. Lifnei Hashem is always a reference to being in the Azara, being in the temple courtyard. Shechita Nami Yaksiv Lifnei Hashem. The Gemara says, okay, same thing by Shechita as well. Efshe David Sakin Arucha V'Shachit. Gemara says, okay, but with Shechita, it's possible for the animal to be Lifnei Hashem, because what you're going to do is you're going to be there with a long knife. You'll be outside the Azara, you'll be there with a long knife and showing. Smicha nami efshe d'ma'al yadi v'samach. So the Gemara says, well, why can't you say the same thing by smicha? Meaning you'll stand outside. Okay, so smicha has to be done with your hands. Fine. Take your hands, put your hands inside the Azara, and can't you do that? Kasavar bia b'miksas shma bia. So the Gemara says, the Tana is of the opinion you can't do that. Because bia b'miksas shma bia. Okay, and this is really the opening statement, if you will, to today's daf. Today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel again, but really this is where it all begins. It all begins with this one comment over here. Now it goes like this. We know that when you're tummy, you can't go into the Azara, right? It's a prohibition. Not only is it an issue to go into the Azara, punishable by kares. Like somebody whose tummy goes into the Azara is chayev kares. So, when we say going into the Azara, what part of you are we talking about? All of you, some of you, just even a finger's worth. So this is up for a discussion and a debate. And today's Gemara is really the one of the main sugyas of this discussion. Okay, the Braisa says like this: even your hands cannot go in. This is what's called bia b'miksas. Just a small amount of entering into the Azara. Even if it's just your hands, are not the majority of your body, still, bim b'miksas, shma bia, that's still considered going into and entering into the Beis HaMikdash. So, the difference between shechita and smicha is very simple. Shechita, you can accomplish by not being at all in the Azara. Just take a long knife, and you'll be standing outside, the animal will be inside, and shecht, and that's fine, and you'll be done. But bia, or I should say rather, smicha, that you can't do at all. Because the animal has to be inside the Azara, you have to be outside the Azara, even your hands going in is bia b'miksas, is considered bia according to this Tana. Good. Hold that thought. We're going to come back and we're going to discuss that at length. Rav Chista masni ibcha b'samach b'shachat, mashchita b'tarin af smicha b'taharin. Rav Chista goes the other direction. Look, b'samach b'shachat, just like shechita has to be done with somebody who is a non-tamei, smicha has to be done with somebody who is a non-tamei or a tar. So ma'ishna shechita dichsev, now shechita, the pasuk says lifnei Hashem, smicha namiksev, lifnei Hashem. Efshe dema'ayol yadei v'samech, the Gemara says, well, when it comes to smicha, you can put your hands in. Shechita nami, efshe david sakin arucha v'shachin. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If you're okay entertaining putting your hands in to do smicha, can't you imagine that you can shecht by using a long knife? So hamani shemanati manihi. So the Gemara says, no, not according. This version, right, which goes the other direction, learns it from smicha to shechita. This version is learning like shemanati mani. The Tanya we learned on the brayso v'shachar is bena bakar lifnei Hashem v'lo hashochet lifnei Hashem. Animal has to be in the Azara, not the person who's doing the shechting. According to Shemana Temani, now does the animal have to be lifnei Hashem? The shochet, the one shechting, has to be lifnei Hashem as well. So interestingly enough, according to this version of the discussion, it's funny. Smicha, that could be done by tamei, right? Why? In theory, in principle, it could be done by tamei. Why? Because all you need to do is just put your hands in. And according to this version, putting your hands in is not going into the Azara. That's just putting your hands in. Shechita can't be done at all by somebody who's not allowed to go into the Azara. Why not? Because this This limud, this version, is going like Shimon HaTemani, and Shimon HaTemani through means of exegesis, through means of drasha, tells us that you're simply, you and the animal both have to be in the Azara, both have to be lifnei Hashem when shechting the animal. Okay, good. Alright, so we have two versions of how to learn out the smicha parshias of smicha and shechita. Okay, but basically what comes out now is that there is a debate in the Gemara of Bia B'mitzas. Can you, a tamei person, just simply put your hands into the Azara and not your whole body? And right now what it comes out to is that it's subject to a debate. Amar Ula Amar Ish Lakish. Okay. Now on this debate, we're going to have a statement of Ula, and really for the remainder of today, we're going to be on the statement of Ula. Amar Ula Amar Ish Lakish Tamei Sheichnes Yadov Lefnim Loke. Shenemar Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga Mekish Bia Lenigia. Ma Nigia B'mikza Shma Nigia Av Bia B'mikza Shma Bia. Okay, so Ula certainly takes the position that you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash at all. Not one bit. Not you, not your hands, nothing. In fact, Ula goes one step further. He says that if you do put your hands into the Azara, you're going to get Malkus. Meaning that putting your hands into the Azara is tantamount like your entire body going into the Azara, and therefore you're going to get Malkus. He learns it here, and now here I'll say it, because the Gemara says it, so I'll be much more comfortable saying it. Here he learns it based on a Hekesh. Right? Here it's a Hekesh. Right? The Pasuk says...
Chorus,
huh? Huh?
Why only Malkus, not Chorus?
Oh, well, hold on. Okay, that's an excellent point. The Gemara is going to pick up on that a little bit later on. So the Pasuk says, Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga Uvemikdash Lo Savo. Now this is talking about the woman who just gave birth. Right? Vayikra Parshas Tazria. She's Tamea. She just gave birth. Meaning to say now that she's Tamei. She's Tamea, I should say. The Torah is very clear. So after having given birth, so for the next, if it's a boy, really it's 7 plus 33, so it's 40 days in total. If it's a girl, it's 14 plus 66, 80 days in total. Either way, she can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. And the Torah says two things. B'chol Kodesh Lo Siga, she's not allowed to touch Kodesh. And Al HaMikdash Lo Savo, and she can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So you see from here that this woman who's Tmeya is not allowed to walk into the Beis HaMikdash. But Ula goes one step further. There are two things mentioned in this Pasuk. Number one, Uve Kodesh Lo Siga, she can't touch Kodesh. Now as Rashi explains over here, every time you touch, it's not a total contact. Meaning it's your finger touching Kodesh. So Negia, by its very definition, by its very nature, is always going to be partial. There's no such thing as a full contact. Every contact, by definition, is a partial contact. Same thing is true by Bia. Meaning Bia could be B'mikzas and could be in totality. But we'll take our definition of Negia and we'll transfer it over to Bia. And so that means now that even a partial Bia is considered a Bia, and therefore no part of her is allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. And Ula takes it to its logical conclusion, meaning that if she does so, she'll get Malkus. It's tantamount to walking into the Beis HaMikdash in totality. Okay, Eisvech. And so for the remainder of today, we're gonna test his theory. We're going to challenge his theory. Is that correct? That even Bia B'mikzah Shema Bia, that even a partial entering into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara, is considered a lav. It's considered a negative prohibition. Ezer Ravoshia Le'ula. So we're going to ask the following question. Mitzor Shechal Shminish Olios Berva Pesach. Okay, lots going on over here in this Braisa. First, we'll start off with the fact that he's just finishing up his Tzaras. Okay? Spoke a little bit of Lashon Hara, a little juicy gossip, right? He got Tzaras. And now going through the tahara process of tzaras. Now in the tahara process of tzaras, it requires first stage one is with birds, with two birds. But after that, then he goes through a 7-day process. Shaves his head, goes outside the camp, and goes through a seven-day tahara process. On the seventh day, tovels in the mikvah, experiences Harav Shemesh, right? Almost done. On the eighth day, he needs to bring karbanos. Now, that eighth day is a very exciting day for him. Brings karbanos, goes to the Beis HaMikdash on the day that he brings karbanos. He's still not yet able to walk into the Azara. He still has, until the karbanos are actually brought, a little bit of residual tuma upon him. This is what the Gemara calls mechusar kippurim, right? And until that's done, he can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Here's what he has to do, however. He has to take the blood of the asham, of his karban asham, and the oil that he brings as well, and have it applied to him on his right thumb, his right toe, big toe, and his right earlobe. Okay, this is the process of the Taharas Hamitzara on his eighth day. Okay, now, we also know, as we're going to be discussing over the course of today, that what he needs to do is he needs to have the application done in the Azara. You can't take the blood of the Mitzara, the blood of the Asham outside of the Azara, and he can't walk into the Azara. So how do you do this? So the Torah says, simple. He takes his thumb and he inserts it into the Azara. He takes his toe, he inserts it into the Azara. He stands by the Shar Nikanor, the gate of the Nikanor gate, right? The Nikanor gate. I don't know how that helps in terms of translation, but and he just inserts his, and he inserts it into the Azara, and that is how it is applied.
How does he do
the
ear?
With the ear? Yeah. So he sticks his head in. Just sticks his head in. Now,
I'm sure there's a guy standing there. Oh, too much, too much.
Doesn't describe it in the way I'm describing it. Correct. Okay. Good. So, right. So let's set the stage for the following. So now his eighth day happens to coordinate with the 14th day of Nisan. Okay. And obviously, you can only imagine, he needs his karbanos to be offered that day more than anything because he wants to bring the Karban Pesach. And he wants to be tahor for that evening. Truth of the matter is that he'll be tahor even before the evening. As soon as his karbanos are brought, he'll be tahor for that evening. Okay, good. So, there's a little bit of pressure over here. So we have now a scenario, a little bit of stress. Okay, good. Let's add now to that stress. V'ra'a keri bo bayom. Okay? Now, on that very day, he also now becomes a Balkari. Now, as a Balkari, here's a problem, right? Just a regular seminal mission. He now is Tamei for two reasons. Number one, he's Tamei because he's a Mitzara, which he's about to conclude that day. He'd like to conclude that day. But he's also Tamei because of being a Balkari. Now, as a Balkari, not only can you not go into the Azara, the Torah prohibits you from going even into the Har HaBayis. You can't go to the Har HaBayis as a Balkari. Rashi learns it out. It's based on a drasha. We know that a Zav cannot go into the Har HaBayis. A Zav and anything Zav-like includes even a Balkari as well, can't go into the Har HaBayis. Okay? My good friend, right? Literally. Like, really. I mean, you know. My good friend, Rabbi Fast, when he went up to Har HaBayis, I don't know if he wants this public. Okay, so we won't record this part. So when he goes up to Har HaBayis, so what he needs to do, what everyone needs to do, right? It's controversial, by the way, just making sure everyone knows. Well, to go, not to go, fine. It's a controversy. But before he goes up on Har HaBayis, he tovels in the mikvah. Right? Why? Because a Tamei Mase is allowed to go on Har HaBayis. But a Balkari is not allowed to go on Har HaBayis. So what he does, what everyone does, who decides that they're going to go on Har HaBayis, is that they tov on the mikvah. That takes care of their Balkari tuma, and that only leaves them with Tamei Mase tuma. Right? Okay. So anyway, so the so now here's a problem. So this guy over here, who's the eighth day now, coordinates with the 14th day of Nisan. He would like to go finish up his Tahara process. But because he's a Balkari, he can't walk into the Har HaBayis. So what is he going to do? And in order to finish his tahara process, he needs to stand immediately right next up against the entrance to the azara, in order so that he could put his thumb in and he could put his big toe in and put his ear in. But here he's a Baal Keri, he can't even walk into Har Abayis. So what's he going to do? So Amru Chachamim, Afa Pishein Tful Yom Acher Nechnas Ze Nechnas. So yeah, if you asked me, I would tell you no other Tful Yom is allowed to go into the Har Abayis. He's allowed to, meaning for him special dispensation. Mutav Yavo Ase Sheish Bokaris VeYitcheh Ase Shein Bokaris. And really, this is just a halachic decision. It's just a regular halachic decision. Look, what's preventing him from walking into Har Abayis? A mitzvah ase, or what we call an iser ase. Meaning the Torah says that Veyishachu mena machaneh kol tzarua, kol zav, right? He has to be sent out. So the only thing stopping him from walking into Har Abayis is that mitzvah ase, of you need to walk out, right? You leave. Fine. But on the other hand, however, if he doesn't go into the Har Abayis, and if he doesn't conclude his saras, so now he's going to be up against a bigger assay, and that is failure to bring the Karban Pesach. That's an assay that has with it in its occurrence. Failure to bring the Karban Pesach and eat Karban Pesach has with it a punishment of kares. So if I have now to choose which assay should give before which one, the assay of not walking into the Har Abayis should be totally obliviated by the assay of Karban Pesach.
Why doesn't he just wait the Pesach
Shein? He could. Now, he could, but being that he's really on the threshold, he's on the threshold of being able to bring the Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni is a failsafe. It's like, you know, it's second rate. But he could get through his Tumah. In other words, he could become Tahor. He doesn't have to be Tameh. Just Karbanos. No, not Harav Shemesh, he had already yesterday. Now all he needs is just Karbanos.
What? And if it wasn't Harav Pesach?
So then, no. So then we'll just wait till the next day.
We're allowed to wait for the next day.
Yeah, I'm saying it so confidently. I think
on that day.
I don't know. I don't know, and I don't think so. But it's more of a guess on my part than real knowledge. Okay. Rav Yochanan Amar. Now, Rav Yochanan's statement over here comes as like an assist in terms of understanding how this works. Rav Yochanan Amar Dvar Torah Afilo Ase Inbo. Rav Yochanan says, look, it's not even as far as this prohibition of a Baal Keri walking into the Har Abayis. It's not even a bona fide assay. Shenemar v'yamod yoshev ha'bekal Yehuda v'shalem beveis Hashem l'fnei ha'chatzer ha'chadashah, in front of the new chatzer. New chatzer? What does that mean, new chatzer? My chatzer ha'chadashah, Rav Yochanan shechichu badvarim. The newness over here is a new enactment that was made. V'ramu tful yom ha'ikanus na'machane levia. A tful yom is not allowed to walk into machane levia. Okay, it helps us better understand that our resistance from him walking into Har Abayis should not be a strong resistance, because it may not even be an issa d'oraisa for him to walk in, according to Rav Yochanan, and it may just be a takana de rabbanan, which would further tell us, look, if he has a chance to bring Karban Pesach bizmano, let him walk into Har Abayis, even though we would tell no other tful yom to walk into Har Abayis. Okay, anyway, period. Okay, now, the whole reason why we brought this in is because, look, we're challenging Ula. We're gonna go up against Ula today. Ula says that if you're Tameh and you put your hands into the Azara, into the courtyard, you're gonna get Malkus. Right? That's the position of Ula. So how did you do that? How are you allowing? It's funny, you didn't need all the information that we had. Erev Pesach, Mitzara, and Azav, you didn't need all that. Okay, but still, all right? But Ula, how are you letting all this happening? You're letting the Mitzara put his hands into the Azara, How did you do that? You know, as a mitzari, he's still tamei. And now, even more than that, he's a mitzari and he's a balkari. Tful yom to balkari, but still, he's a balkari. And you're letting him put his hands into the azara. How are you do? How is he allowed to do all that? So this is a question that the Gemara challenges Ula. Amar lei matuncha. So he says to him, "Good, I'm gonna answer your question, and not only am I going to answer your question, I'm going to answer it using what you brought me." Right? Matuncha Rashi says, Masa acha. Right? Your load, your package. Meaning, I'm not even going to go anywhere else to answer the question. You have presented me all the information I need in order to answer the question. Shani Mitzorah, hol v'hutal etzorah, so hutal ekiryal. Look, he's a Mitzorah. The Torah goes out of its way and tells us that the Mitzorah is allowed to put his hands into the Azara in order to apply blood and oil on his hands. He already has a heter. So in other words, as a mitzorah who already has a heter to do so, it's kaven shehutra, hutra. So once it now becomes permissible, it's permissible. And you're right. In other words, it's true that in this particular case, we're tacking on another level of tuma. Meaning he's a mitzorah who also happens to be a balkari. But so what? Once given the heter to put his thumbs inside, Kevin Shehutra, Hutra. So I'm Rav Yosef, Kasavar Ula. So now, let's take this idea, this concept that Ula is presenting to us. Meaning, in order for Ula to defend himself, he now comes on to this very sophisticated idea that once given a heter, other things can go as well. Other Isurim can go by the wayside. So you have a heter to put your thumbs into the Azara because your Mitzara Torah says you have allowance to do that. Even though you're a Balkari, you can also put your hands into the Azara as well. I'm Rav Yosef, Kasavar Ula. So Rav Yosef says, let's take Ula to quote-unquote his logical conclusion. Ruban zavim v'na'asu tamei meisim hol v'hutra l'tumasan hutra l'zivasan. So Rav Yosef says, look, Ula, if we take Ula to his logical conclusion, let's imagine the majority of the Jewish people are tamizav. Okay, just imagine. Hard to imagine, but most of the Jewish people are tamizav now, and we're heading up to Karban Pesach. We're heading up to Pesach, right? So, can we bring Pesach b'tuma? No, no. The only allowance to bring Pesach b'tuma is if the majority of the Jewish people are tamimeis, not tamizav, tamimeis. So, most of the Jewish people are tamizav. V'nasu tamei meisim, and then a wave of tumas meis goes out through the Jewish people, and now tamazav and tumas meis. Hol v'hutra l'tumasam, hutra l'zivasam. Well, according to Ula, can we now make the argument? Well, you know that most of the majority of the Jewish people are tamei meis, which gives them allowances now to go into the Beis Hamikdash and to offer the Karban Pesach in a state of tumah. We can also overlook the fact that they're also Zav as well. So Amalei Abaye.
There's multiple. Like,
wait. I know what your question is. Well, I'm Amalei Abaye. So I'm just going to. Let's just go through the Gemara because Abaye is so unhappy. Amalei Abaye mi dami. Tuma ishtari ziva lo ishtaria. So, I don't understand. You're going the wrong direction over here. Your order is all backwards. Meaning, in the case of the Mitzora, he first was a mitzvah. He's now on the eighth day of his saras. He starts with a heter. I'm allowed to put my hands into the azara. Torah says you're allowed to. And then on top of that, you're layering on another tumah, but it's okay. Because you're layering it on something where he's already has a heter. Here, I'm so not following you. You start off with no heter. Meaning, everyone's a Zav. A Zav's not allowed to walk. Zav can't even walk into the Har HaBayis. Forget the Azara. And now everyone's a Zav. And we have no heter to offer the Karban Pesach. And now, just because everyone's the Tamei Meis, but you're not layering the Tamei Meis on heter. You're layering it on Isser. So I don't understand. So I'm like, Dilma Hachikam, my mind. So, okay. So maybe, let's try the other way. Ruban Tamei Meisim. Ah, here we go. So let's start off with everyone being a Tamei Meis, meaning the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Meis, V'nasu Zavim, and then a wave of Zav passes over the Jewish people, and the majority of them now are Zav, Hol V'Hutra L'Tumasam, Hutra L'Zivasam. And now we'll suggest that since since there's a heter of tumah, there's a heter also for ziva as well. Amar le'in. So he says, yeah, sounds about right. yeah.
That's what I meant.
Right, correct. Ve'akati lo dami. But still, I want you to know, even though that sounds about right, I don't think they're totally similar. Mitzara heterehu. Hovi ishtari ishtari. Because look, with the mitzara, it's heter gamor. Meaning, the Torah says to our mitzara, you need application. It's part of the process. I'm reading the Psukim in Chumash. You need application of the blood of the Asham. I know this. I know that he can't be in the Azara. The blood can't go out. Right? So there's got to be a way to do it. So essentially what the Torah is telling me is, look, I know what the rules are. A Mitzara can't go in, but I know the blood can't come out. So you, the Mitzara, you got to stick your hands in. In other words, there's no other way to do it. That's Heter Gamor. That's just absolutely permitted. That's allowed. But here, Hovi Shari Shari, Tuma Dechuyehi. But now you're taking that concept and you now want to move it to Karban Pesach. Whoa, that's a different type of Heter. In fact, we won't call that Heter. We'll call that Dechuya. Right? You know the classic question, Hutcher Dechuya. Right? It's classic as it can get. Right, we use it. We normally talk about it in the context of Shabbos. Right, when someone's a pekuach nefesh, someone has serious health issues and his life is in jeopardy. So now you're mechal Shabbos. Is that hutra or dechuya? Right, that's the classic question. I'll be honest with you, the Gemara never sets it up that way. Right, the hutra dechuya discussion always revolves around this, what we're doing right now, meaning Karban Pesach. Person's tamei, and the Torah gives allowances now to, and the majority of the Jewish people are tamei meis, and we have an allowance now to bring the Karban Pesach in a state of tumah. And here the Gemara always entertains the question, hutra u dechuya. And the Gemara is now telling us that according to Abaye, Ula, whoever's having this discussion right now, that Karban Pesach done in a state of tumah, that's not hutra, that's dechuya. Differences would be, Rashi brings down over here, good question. Rashi brings down over here, meaning let's say it's Hutra. First of all, everyone can walk into the Azara. Right? No one has to avoid it. Two, which Kohen is going to do the Avodah? Do I need to find a Tahar Kohen? No. If it's Hutra, no. If it's Dechuya, so then only those people who actually need to do the work can go inside. If it's Dechuya, if I can find a Kohen who's not Tameh, I'll find a Kohen who's not Tameh. Meaning, it's not carte blanche. We try to minimize the amount of Tumah to the best degree as possible.
And
the Mitzara
is Heter.
And Mitzara is Heter Gamor. So the Gemara says, so they're still not comparable. So now I could make the argument, look, that even though there is an allowance that yes, when the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Meis, they can do the Karban Pesach B'Tumah, but they could do it in a state of Tumah. But if it's Dechuya, so that's only for Tumas Meis. Maybe not Ziva. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. Okay.
How does the Gemara know that Mitzora is Hutra?
Because how else?
Pikuach Nefesh also the Torah. You have to do B'chai B'Hem.
How do I know by Mitzora?
That you don't have to minimize the Tumah. The Torah tells you have to.
Maybe in the world of Mitzora, you could still be holding by Dechuya.
Yeah.
Right? It's a fair question.
What would be enough coming out in that case?
So we'll talk about that later this morning. Right. Meaning maybe by the Mitzora.
For example, you mentioned that the guy stands outside, and he puts even in the puzzle, he puts his ear in, he puts his head.
Right, right.
In the Tutri, he should just walk right into the base of Mikta,
right,
make a
right,
over there,
right,
and let him. But the
correct.
You described it, it sounded like the Kuya.
Right.
Right. Okay, it's a fair question. Okay, I don't know. So Amar le Rava Ad Rav Eibcha Mistabra. So the Gemara says, look, as long as we're throwing out arguments and we're throwing out svaras, look, we can go in this direction. Meaning the Gemara really, like, you know, it just covers a lot of different bases. When it comes to the Mitzara story, right, our poor Mitzara guy who's, it's the eighth day and his eighth day coordinates with the 14th day of Nisan, look, I could say to you like this. Yeah, the Torah gives him allowance to put his thumbs into the Azara. But that's it. Meaning, it's a limited allowance. It's an allowance only for him because he's a Mitzara. Laha lo ishtari. But for the other thing, meaning for his Balkari, for his Ziva, no. Tumah dechuyi. Mali cha dechuyi mali shtei dechuyos. And in the world of our Karban Pesach, I can go in the other direction. Look, we have, it's nidche. Meaning, we are now saying, I know your tummy mace. But you know what? Because the majority of the Jewish people are tamei meis, so okay, well, let's bring Karban Pesach. So once I'm in the world of Dechuya, so you have one exemption, okay, so you get a second exemption. Okay, it could very well be. And the Gemara, that's it. In other words, the Gemara doesn't entertain this discussion anymore, but the Gemara makes one final observation over here. Michla, we're on the top of Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph. Michla, the Tavai is fairly to Dechuya he besibor. The Gemara says, look, on the fundamental question of Karban Pesach offered while the Jewish people are Tamei, is that Huchah or Dechuya? Throughout this whole discussion, everybody assumes a fundamental assumption that's been going on right now is that it's Dechuya, not Huchah. And as I mentioned, you go to Pesachim, when we get back to Pesachim, we're closer to it coming up than we are, but we are from behind. So, but when we get to Pesachim again, we are going to see that this is subject to a major debate amongst Tanayim and Amorayim whether Karban Pesach is Tuma or is Huchah or Dechuya. Here in our little discussion here in Zvachim, we are assuming that it's Dechuya, not Huchah. Okay. But that's not really our main discussion for today. Okay. Again, it all revolves around Ula. The whole discussion today revolves around Ula. Again, Ula says that if you're Tamei and you stick your hands into the Azara while being Tamei, you're going to get Malkus. That is called Bia B'mikstas, and according to Ula, Bia B'mikstas Shema Bia. Of course, Ula agrees that the Mitzara is allowed to do that, but Ula will tell you, Hutra. I mean, that, yeah, the Torah tells you to do that, so it's obviously okay. But without any dispensation, without any justification, if you just put your hands in, you're going to get Malkus. He feels Bia B'mikstas Shema Bia. So we've been attacking Ula, right, in the previous discussion. Now let's try to support Ula. Alright. As we know, we've been discussing the Mitzorah now, so we are experts on the Mitzara. Okay, maybe not. But as we know, the Mitzara has his eighth day. And on his eighth day, he brings karbanos. And the karbanos that he brings a chatas, he brings an asham. Now we know that in general, when it comes to an asham, there's a mitzvah of smicha. You got to take your hands and rest your hands, lean your hands on the head of the animal. Okay? So normally, what happens is that you, the owner of the animal, walk into the Azara, and you do the mitzvah of smicha. Problem is, he can't walk into the Azara. He's stuck. He's stuck outside of the Azara. So, that's the... Okay, good point. Hold that point. Call a smicha shayusham, kore alem, and he take up the smicha shchita. Now, our best position, our licha tchila position, is that smicha be done right before the shchita. As I showed you earlier this morning, it seems to be that that's exactly the format that the Torah lays out for us. If you look at Perek Aleph of Vayikra, you will see that the Torah there describes smicha and the very next pasuk, shchita. So it seems to be that they need to be, it's not just the psukim juxtaposing one next to another, it seems to be that in the way that it's actually carried out, you do smicha and immediately after smicha you do shchita. That's normally our preferred way of doing things. Chutz mizu. This is an exception. Shahaisa Bishar Nikanor, because look, our Mitzora is, okay, look over there. Okay, point. Our Mitzora, here's the Azara. This is Ezra's Nashim over here. Okay, even though it's walled, This is Harabais. This is just part of the greater Harabais. This area over here is Ezos Nashim. It's called Ezos Nashim because typically women would not go any further into the Ezara than this point over here. So it was given the name Ezos Nashim. Then you had the entrance into the Ezara over here. This is describing 15 steps going up. I'm making a mess over here. 15 steps going up, and then you would walk up to what's called Sharni Kanur. Sharni Kanur is the Nikonor gate. It was called that because this is a dedicable, right? And the person who sponsored the gate, his name was Nikonor. So therefore, it's called Sharni Kanur. The Gemara in Yuma tells a story about what happens, how the gate got there. But anyway, and this is it, meaning this is the border between Harabais and the Ezara, right? Even the Ezara is broken up into different sections. This is called Ezra Yisrael because typically Jewish people would go up to this point in time. They would not go beyond this point in place. But anyway, here's what the Gemara is describing. Armitzar is standing right over here at the threshold. And his Karban Hashem is over here. And the Gemara is basically saying, you know, he can't do smicha. His arms are not long enough to reach over here. He can't do smicha. And that obviously presents a problem. So the Braisa says, quite simply, he won't do smicha. Everyone else does smicha, he won't do smicha. It's not ma'akev, it's not an essential avoda. Okay, so that's where we are in the discussion.
Did they do the smicha if Yom Kippur and Ezer Nashim?
No. No, everything was done in the Ezara. Everything was done there. Let's stay over here for a little bit. So Bisharni Karashemus or Yachali Kana Sashamachamazan Alav Midam Khatasomi Damashamo. Because you know, again, we're quasi experts now. You know he can't walk into the Azara until he has the application of blood. He can't get the application of blood until the animal shechted. So and you're talking about doing a smicha on that animal. So obviously we're in a loop, right? So he's just not going to do smicha. That's how you break the loop. So the e amart bia be mixas lo shma bia. So the Gemara says le ayo yadei velismach. So the Gemara says, look, Ula must be right, because if Ula is not right, so just let him stand right over there, bring the animal to the gate, and let him do smicha. He'll be outside. Right, here's the threshold. He'll be outside. He'll just put his hands on it and he'll do smicha. This is what the Gemara is suggesting. Now, involved in this suggestion is the assumption, well, look, we're talking about the Karban Hashem. We know the Hashem has to be shechted to the north of the Mizbeach. We've already seen this once before in the Masechta, the second time we're seeing this. When we say north, what do we mean? Rebbe's of the opinion, anything northbound of the Mizbeach is fair game. Meaning, I can bring my Hashem and shecht it here, anywhere northbound of the Mizbeach. So in the Gemara's assumption right now, in asking this question, the Gemara is assuming, and what we're going to have to do, by the way, right, this picture, we're going to have to take the Mizbeach and shift it down just a little bit. So
he can, because he has to be in line.
Right, in other words, the Mizbeach placement over here in this picture is subject to a debate. Some put it a little more southbound. Okay, so what we're assuming right now is that you bring your Asham right over here up to the gate. He's standing right by the gate and he does smicha right from the gate. And the only reason why he's not doing that is because of Ula. Right? The Gemara says it must be Ula's right. And here the Gemara says you can go a number of different ways over here.
Smicha has to be in the north also?
Smicha, right, because that's a good point, because smicha has to be done right before shechita. So in other words, wherever you're going to do shechita, that's where smicha has got to be done. So the Gemara says, first of all, I'm going to challenge one of your assumptions. You assume that the entire north area is fine to do the smicha / shechita. No, this price is holding like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. He draws parallel lines from the Mizbeach northbound, and that's it. And you're limited in that area. So now what the Gemara is about to suggest is the following. Okay, so look, so let's move our Mitzara. So let's take him out over here. He'll walk out through this exit. He'll come around over here. And what's the big deal? Like, well, he'll come in through one of these entrances from the north. We'll learn in Midos, right? In Masechta Midos, there are four entrances in the north, right? Based on Nitzos, based on Mocha, Lishkas Agola, Lishkas Agazis, I know how to read. So, right, so there's one of these entrances from the north.
And what now the Gemara is about to suggest is bring him over here and let him do smicha from over there. And, right? If Ula's not the issue over here.
This was actually done. This was the way they did it. No?
Well, let's get to the Gemara. So, Merchak Safan. Vele'ave pishpesh. So make a little entrance directly north of the Mizbeach. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, no, you're talking about making changes in the architectural design of the Beis HaMikdash. You cannot do that. Right, we're not allowed to make any type of architectural changes in the Beis HaMikdash. So, because there is no entrance that allows the Mitzvah to stand directly north of the Mizbeach, so that's why he can't do it. He can't do it because it's just simply not there for him to do that. Okay. That ends the discussion according to one version. Okay, choppy ending. Meaning, is Ula right? Could be. But this Braisa that we just quoted has nothing to say about it. Because this Braisa over here, he can't do smicha, just simply it's a logistic issue. Meaning he can't be standing to the east, he's too far away. The Sharnika Norgate is too far away. Huh? According to Rebbe, he could. But this Bryce, you're right. Right? Point well taken. This Bryce doesn't speak to it. How about going to the north and doing it from the north? There's just simply no entrance from the north that allow him to do smicha. Okay, make an entrance. No, you can't do that. You can't change the architectural design. Okay, Ikedamre. Another version of this discussion. Amrav Yosef Kolasomech Roshav Ruba Machnis. This brings us to your point that you made earlier. Right? Kolasomech Roshav Ruba Machnis. My time called Kocho Be'inan. Hilkach Lo Efshar. So, the Gemara says like this. Right? Smicha, up until now, the way I've been describing it, which basically seems to be the way the Gemara is describing it, is just taking your hands and putting your hands on the head of the animal. The Gemara says, no, the mitzvah of smicha is kol kocho. It's got to be full force, and then you have to put your weight in. So, if you're going to put your weight on the animal, you can't just simply extend your arms on, you got to put your shoulders in. Right? I feel like I'm, I feel like a gym teacher right now. You got to put your shoulders in. You got to put your back into it, right? You got to do it all force. And there's no way to do that without having just your arms into the azara. Everything's got to go into the azara. Kokocha beinan hilkach lo efshar. So my kasav, ikasav v'smicha zashem etzor daraisa v'tegav v'smicha shchita daraisa leo v'lismach lehedja derachmana amar. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Okay, now let's take one step backwards. Meaning, what's the issue? What's going on over here? We are having a discussion about our Mitzara and his ability or inability to do smicha. Gemara says, I'm not following this whole discussion. Let's just think about this for a moment. If smicha is a mitzvah, and smicha of the Karban Hashem is a mitzvah, and this concept of samach l'smicha shchita, if that is all in place, so let him do it. Look, look, we already got his hands in the Azara, right? And according to Ula, you're not allowed to put your hands in the Azara, but he's allowed to because the Torah says he's allowed to. So the Gemara says, I'm just confused by all this discussion. Meaning, if everything you're saying is true and everything is a din da'araisa, smicha, samach l'smicha, shchita, all that's true, so then just go forward, move forward. Le'ol v'lismach l'ejit, derachmana amar, the Torah says it's okay. So, Amar Avada Bar Masna, Gzeres Shema Yarbe Bepsios. So, the first answer of the Gemara, which is fascinating, it's unbelievable, such an interesting answer, is that, yeah, technically you're right, but Shema Yarbe Bepsios. You know, it's one step versus two steps. It's two steps versus four steps. Meaning the Chachamim were feared that if he utilizes the allowance of walking into the Azara, he'll walk too far into the Azara, and extra steps that he's not allowed to do. Okay. Unbelievable. Meaning that the Torah says it's okay, but the Chachamim were concerned. Usually we say, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, that we don't make rabbinic enactments in the Mikdash. Although that doesn't bother me so much, because that's typically addressed to the Kohanim. And obviously this is a lay person. So that doesn't bother me so much. But generally we say that if the Torah gives an allowance, right, we're on Shabbos, we just talked about this Taz, Friday night, Rebbe talked about this Taz, right? The Taz says that if the Torah gives an allowance to do something, so the Chachamim wouldn't then go back and say, don't do it. What did we just talk about? No. Right? He talked about Lechem Mishnah. When did he talk about? He talked about the Taz.
He said the Taz was the only place to send
Right. Oh, and if it's Ksuva B'Torah. So maybe you want to make the argument that this is not Ksuva B'Torah. Okay, fine. So Yarbe B'Psios, fine. So anyway, Gzeres Shema Yarbe B'Psios. So the Gemara says, as a rabbinic concern, Shema Yarbe B'Psios. Okay, let's do one more. Ika de Amre. Again, why doesn't the Mitzvah just walk into the Azar and do Smicha? So answer number one to the question is, rabbinic concern. This idea that shchita and smicha have to be juxtaposed one to another, that's not a din da'araisa. Okay. And that's where, and once you're missing that link, so then the mitzvah doesn't have to walk in. So the Gemara says, Meisrei, the Gemara says, I'd like to challenge you on that. Masmicha b'tarin, shchita b'tarin, v'yamar lav da'araisa b'tmeinam imishkachala. So the Gemara says, Ella Epoch. What we'll do is, we'll just fidget with it a little bit. Smichas Asha Mitzora, Lav de Araisa. No. The idea of Smicha and Shechita being juxtaposed one to another, that is a Din de Araisa. I'll tell you what isn't the Smicha of the Asha Mitzora. That's not de Araisa. Right? Why not? In other words, what makes this Asham different than all other Ashamos? Rashi explains. All other Ashamos are there to be mechaper. They're there to serve as an atonement. This Asham is a machshir. Right? All it does is allow him to eat. Right? So, manishtana Asham zemi kol Ashamos. Why is this Asham different? Answer, because it's a machshir. So, da'araisa v'teka v'smicha shchita da'araisa. Good. Okay, so that answers up our question, why doesn't the Mitzvah just simply walk in and do smicha? So answer number one is, to Gzera de Rabbanan. Answer number two is, the smicha of the Asha Mitzvah is not a dinda araisa. Okay, period. Okay, good. What we have so far, the Gemara is very straightforward. We have a statement of Ula. Ula says that when you put your hands into the Azara, you are going to get Malkus. Who's going to put his hands into the Azara is going to get Malkus. Ula is of the opinion that Bia Memiksa Shma Bia. On Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, we challenged Ula from a Braisa and defended him. On Lamed Gimel Amad Aleph, we try to bring support to Ula from a Braisa and inconclusive support to Ula from the Braisa. Okay, tomorrow we're left to figure, or where do we conclude with Ula's statement?